Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you, peace and the mercy and blessings of God. I am your host Shabir Ali for this episode. You're watching Community Roundup on E-Awaz Television. And on this episode, we have a visiting guest all the way from Pakistan. He is the author of this massive tome entitled A History of the Quran. That was his PhD thesis from the University of Wales in the UK. And he is also the translator of this book, which is from the Mizan of the great Sheikh Javed Ahmed Ghamidi. The book is entitled Islam, A Comprehensive Introduction. The translator is no other than Dr. Shahzad Salim, here with us in the studio, visiting from Pakistan, now here in Canada, and only for a limited time, so this is the last episode we have the opportunity to film with him. You can read the book if you want, but in a nutshell, we're looking at what the book teaches and more. So what comes out of the mind of this great scholar in our presence, Dr. Shahzad Salim? He's not happy with me saying he's a great scholar, by the way, but that is the fact. So, Dr. Salim, here in the North American, Canadian context, we're trying to live our lives as Muslims, and there are many challenges. And one of the challenges is for us to understand clearly enough the rights of parents and children. So let's, with this first segment, focus on parents. What are the responsibilities of parents? Let's put it this way.
So I would start off answering this question by slightly altering the order. Instead of the responsibilities, I think there are certain mistakes which parents are making, or they're showing an irresponsible behavior, if you allow me to say. So I think one of the things that we need to understand is that as parents, we have to provide an environment which makes a house a home, in which a boy or a girl, when he returns to his house or her house, she feels or he feels that elation, that comfort, that mutual connection. So one of the things which I find really missing today is that a house is no longer a home. And people or boys or girls, they don't wish to go back to their houses because parents make certain grave mistakes. I'm just going to enumerate some of these mistakes. For example, one very common thing which goes on in almost every house is that they openly argue and quarrel in front of the children, which is, of course, not a very good sign, and it always has a very bad impact. And then they have this tendency of child shaming, in which they ask all sorts of embarrassing questions. Did you brush your teeth? Or what time did you sleep at night? Or when are you going to return at night? Etc., etc. So without realizing that a child or a grown-up child is passing through a certain period of life and time in which he or she has a lot of peer pressure as well, these questions should be extremely subtle, if at all. And then we have this phenomena of comparing children to each other. I mean, there could be a child who's very, very intelligent, and there could be another one in the same family, a sibling who might not be that intelligent. And parents, they end up making comparisons, and this ends up in the form of taunts. So this is, of course, something absolutely unwarranted. And the biggest biggest things which actually is amiss in this regard is that once a child becomes a grown-up child, our parents don't realize that now he or she is a complete human being who can have his or her own religious, social, cultural worldview. What our parents do is they impose their own culture, their own religion on the children without realizing that they are now adults, and now they have an equal right to adopt any way which might be absolutely different from their parents. And if because of this, I take responsibility in saying these words, that I think it's a grave violation of human rights when you impose yourself on your adult children. They can choose their spouse, they can choose their career, they can choose the dress they wear. You might have a difference of opinion, and you have all the right to express that difference in a very congenial way, in a very humble way. But if the child, I'm talking about a grown-up child, if he or she has a different opinion regarding anything, then it is his or her right to follow that opinion. Imagine yourself being in her place, and you would be, I mean, forced by your parents, you would not like it. So we have to have that had magnanimity and understand that children, when they grow up, they are now individuals. And you must not count a grown-up child by 18 years or 16 years. It happens differently in different cultures. At times, a 12-year-old is a very mature person. And at times, an 18-year-old is even not that mature person. So as soon as they reach maturity, parents must not use this imposition on them. And finally and lastly, I think they must try to make friends with their children by trying to bridge that gap in which children might have different interests, which are, of course, not known even to the parents. So they should take some pains, learn something about basketball, learn something about maybe football or soccer or anything, so that the conversation, which is so missing on a cup of tea or a breakfast, and every person is busy with his own self or her own self, they have some common topic. And it's more of the parents that they should see what interests their children are and then read about that interest so that you can start off a conversation and give them that leverage. And finally, one thing that I'd like to say is that I would count a parent or a set of parents to be the most successful if after doing something wrong, a child directly comes to you, to the parent, and confesses that today this happened. This would mean that you have given enough confidence, you have given enough trust to that child that he does not go to any place else. He does not even hide whatever he is or she has done wrong. He immediately comes to you. If that is the case, then you are one successful parent. You must be happy, because that speaks a lot. That means that you have that friendship bond, you have the trust bond, which is so missing in today's life.
Yeah, Dr. Salim, one of the fears that followers, devout followers of religion have, whether they be Jew, Christian, Muslim, Hindu, or anyone else, is that their children will not eventually follow their own religious beliefs and principles. So how can Muslims ensure, in light of what you just said, that, okay, so, you know, they're teenagers, they're growing up, they're becoming adults of their own, they're going to choose their own path. How can we ensure that when they are ready to make that choice for themselves, that hopefully the choice will be
the right choice,
the right one?
This is a very extremely pertinent question. And I think when the child is growing up, the forming period, when he's maybe a four-year-old or a three-year-old or a six-year-old, it is here that you start grooming him or her in a manner in which you acquaint, you see that the awareness of right and wrong is already found in a person. So to make that person even more sensitive towards right and wrong, even more sensitive towards what the truth is, what justice is, what compassion is, it is this forming period in which parents generally are sleeping or busy with something else, that when suddenly at the age of 14 they do something, they realize that they have a child who is out of control. No, it was the time, that forming period in which they were doing something else. So I would advise parents that if they want to give them a better chance to give to form a right opinion, although there's no guarantee, but they would stand a better chance if in that forming period, when they are growing up in a very tender age, they should be there for their children. They should inculcate those values and, of course, instill in them that spirit of quest for the truth. So if they are able to do that, then they stand a very good chance that when they grow up, the decision even then can be wrong, but there's a good chance that if that'll be more calculated, actually.
So one of the difficulties we find, Dr. Salim, here in Canada, is that you may have parents who spoke another language in another country, and they're here in Canada, and naturally, like everybody else, they would like to maintain the culture and traditions and so on and pass it on to their children and grandchildren. So the language is not necessarily a part of that culture. So I want my children to speak my language from another country. But being here in Canada, naturally English is going to dominate their thinking and so on. So even if my children speak my back home language, they're going to speak it in a superficial manner, like, you know, bring tea or something like this, simple expressions. But when it comes to concepts and ideas, the language is not developed to that extent where concepts and ideas can be discussed. So English would be the medium through which they discuss concepts and ideas. And this is where we find that there's a generational gap between the parents and the children, because if the parents are not up to date with being able to convey the concepts and ideas of Islam in the English medium, then they have no way of communicating these to the children. Do you have any thoughts?
So you're absolutely right that this is a problem which parents can face. But again, you see, when they have taken pains to come all the way to a country, then one of another pain that they should take is to acquaint themselves, become people who can speak the English language, at least to the extent that they are able to communicate, not maybe in that extreme right extent or pronunciation or extent, but in a manner in which your children is not an alien to you. you are able to communicate in that language with your child. And I think this is something which parents should, take some classes or maybe take some grooming, because it's a question of your child. And I personally think that your biggest investment is your children. Your children are your biggest investment. And if you want your investment to flourish, then you have to work hard. And one of that working hard aspects is that try to acquaint yourself. It's not a difficult task at all. It's just a question of giving more time to that. And once you do that, it's not only going to help you with the children, but in the society as well. You're going to move around in society in a way in which you'll be able to communicate with other people as well. So it's like a win-win situation.
Mm-hmm. So very quickly, because we're coming to the end of this segment of our present episode, and then we want to take a break and come back and deal with the flip side of this, which is what are the responsibilities of children towards their mm-hmm. parents. But thinking more now about the responsibilities of parents towards their children, sometimes parents feel that they can impose on their children to excel in one particular field. I want mm-hmm. my child to be a doctor or mm-hmm. an engineer or something like this. Do you think that's a reasonable demand for parents to have of their children?
I think it's a reasonable suggestion. Mm. If you turn the demand into a suggestion in which maybe you say that, well, you are more suited, you are more geared towards this profession. If you adopt this profession, your temperament goes along with it, and maybe I also like it. So if you present it in the form of suggestion or in the form of a convincing agenda, it might work, but demand is something which you don't have the right to. This is the right of the child, the grown-up child himself or herself. Remember your own self, that you made a decision. If your parents made a decision for you, you can never be adept in that field, because it's not coming out of you. It's like being imposed on you, and that is something which is a grave fault. So it has to be a suggestion, an advice, in a very humble way, in a very convincing way, but the final decision, if it is made contrary to what you are thinking, you must accept it.
And lastly, Dr. Salim, some parents feel that they have the right to decide a suitable spouse for their children. Do you feel that that's the right?
So as I said, that all decisions, whether it's the selection of a spouse or a career or a job or anything, the final decision rests with the grown-up child. Here, the attitude has to be suggestive. You can always say, well, there are pros and cons. If you marry this girl, it's going to be like this. And if you marry her, it's going to be like this. So it's like advising and suggesting and being in that position in which you are telling your child that, well, I have some experience and here I am presenting it to you. But yours is the ultimate decision. Mine is a suggestion. Unfortunately, our parents don't do that. They, from the very first day, they start imposing themselves, and what they could have easily convinced, they end up actually making that person annoyed or your child annoyed with you. Had you adopted the reasoning path, you might have convinced her or him out of that suggestion. But since you're imposing, it literally leaves you with no way to go.
Mm-hmm. A most excellent discussion. I want to continue this discussion, folks, and I want to look at the flip side. So far, we've looked at it from one point of view, the rights and responsibilities of parents, well, most of the responsibilities of parents. And now, after the break, I'd like to look at the responsibilities of children towards their parents, because, as you know, in modern societies, this is one of the most neglected things. In this episode, and we're talking about the rights of parents and of children. Now, for this last segment, a precious few minutes remaining, we're going to talk about specifically the responsibilities of children towards their parents. I'm your host for this episode, Shabir Ali. And with me is Dr. Shahzad Salim, all the way from Pakistan, the author of this book, History of the Quran, A Critical Study, and of the translator of this one, Islam, A Comprehensive Introduction, translated from the work of Javed Ahmed Ghamidi, the great scholar, the work known as Mizan. This is published by Al Mawrid Institute, of which Dr. Shahzad Salim is a fellow. And for the Canadian branch of Al Mawrid Institute, go to almawridinstitute.ca. I turn now to our guest, Dr. Salim. Let's talk about the flip side of what we've been discussing so far. We looked at the responsibilities of parents, Now we want to balance that by looking at the responsibilities of children. And I've already indicated, as you heard, that this is one of the things I feel is quite neglected in our modern societies, and in Canada in particular. Do you have any thoughts on this?
So, if you look at the scriptures, you look at the Proverbs of Solomon, if you look at the Psalms of David, if you look at the Torah, the Injil, and then, of course, the Quran, the thing that which stands out in common with all these scriptures is that it says, for example, honor thy parents, or in the Quran it says, "Wabil walidayni ihsana," you treat your parents with kindness. So, especially when they grow up in old age and they become irritable, they are not that patient, and you have to show that patience. And that supreme supplication, "Rabbirhamhuma kama rabbayani saghira," God, show mercy on them the way they were merciful to us when we were growing up. So, the basic obligation is that you have to show respect, and this goes without saying, because of course you have to show this respect to every adult that you come across, every elder person, but especially your mother and your father, because they were the means who brought you into existence. They spent their lives in bringing you up, and we know the sacrifices of the mother, the proverbial sacrifices. She did go out of the way to raise you. So it goes without saying that now it's the time to repay. And as children who grow up, we have to treat them with kindness. They have their needs. They have emotional needs, which are much superior to economic needs, which means that you have to bond with them. You have to spend time with them. You have to make them feel as if you are still a child to them. And this is where we are actually lacking a lot because of the time constraints, I'm sorry, and economic crunch, etc. We tend to be more robotic, and we think that if we can provide some money to our parents and can have good clothes for them, that perhaps is sufficient, without realizing that that is secondary to them. To them, spending time with them, giving your, maybe mentioning your achievements, even if they are, of a trivial nature, there's nothing which can really make the day of your father and mother than the fact that you mention how you spent your last couple of hours or maybe the last day. It really tells them that you care for them. So caring for them, showing respect to them, always bringing them the fact that their means of joy is none other but your own self, and you are always there for them whenever they need them. This is something which is so natural. I mean, I don't even have to say. But because of the fact that life has become so fast, and because at times parents have treated their children harshly, so when they grow up, they sort of take that, if I may call it, revenge on their parents, because they had behaved the same way with their children. Because of the fact that today's parents somehow have become far removed from their children when they were growing up. So when the children grow up, the bond which should have been naturally with them no longer exists. So if you find a child who is not behaving the way he should be, I mean, he should be very honorable and respectful, parents must see whether the roots of that bad behavior could have lied with their own bad behavior, which they meted out when he was or she was growing up. So yes, the bottom line is that respect and emotional respect, sympathy and empathy with them, and patience is the key to them. You see, when parents grow up, they become irritable. They have their own demands. They behave like children, in fact. So to be patient, to be kind to them, to always look after them, and to always make them feel that they're always wanted. One of the things that we make them feel through our actions, if not by our words, is that you are unwanted, or maybe you're causing something which is sort of a delay or something which is a barrier in our growth and development. This must never be the case, because you see, what breaks a father or mother inside is this feeling of being alienated or being a stranger or being a something which is a burden of a burden on their children. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Dr. Salim, in some other societies, we start working when we were children. Either we're doing some active work at home, or, you know, if there's a family business, we are part of that business, we're helping, we're working in some way. Or if we're on the family farm, we're taking care of the animals and mm-hmm. so on. In a modern Canadian context, in the urbanized environment, teenagers may grow up with the sense of entitlement. Mm-hmm. We are entitled to a nice, happy, mm-hmm. And comfortable environment. It looks like we just concentrate on our studies and mm-hmm. being with our friends, and we don't have much else to do. Do you have any advice for teenagers in this context?
Well, it's actually each teenager must assess the situation in which he or she is in. I mean, it's always different. It's not a rule of thumb that you can suggest. The best suggestion that I can give to such people is that you make the best out of the situation that you are in. Your parents could be at times in a position that they are not in a position to offer you a very comfortable living. So it's not always the case that that is there for you. So if there were some constraints, that can always be made up. So once you become an earning hand yourself, of course, some of the things that you were not able to do in your childhood, they can be done. But compassion, sympathy, and empathy, and realizing the fact that most parents try their best to do whatever they can, but they still fall short. So instead of complaining for that falling short, we must acknowledge what they did. So instead of brooding and complaining, I think the contribution that they made in our lives, the way they sacrificed a lot of things for us, should always make us feel grateful to them. And remember, we have in the Quran which says that we have to be grateful to God. And right after that, it says, "Anishkur li wale walidayk." So you have to be grateful to me and to your parents because they were the ones who passed through thick and thin for your betterment.
Are there some simple things that teenagers can do to show their love and appreciation and to give thanks to their parents? Like, for example, I don't know, take out the garbage, cleaning up their own room, or maybe...
do you have? I think there's so many things that can be done. There are those household chores. There's things as simple as making their bed or tending to them, laughing with them, enjoying a joke with them, just going for a walk with them. So there are these small acts of kindness that really count. And I would summarize this by saying that it is this thought that you should have of spending time with them. Because once you start spending time with them, even if it is 5 or 10 or 15 minutes every day, you tend to know what makes your father or mother happy. And then you can do that. Maybe give her some gifts or maybe give her some knowledge of what these gadgets like WhatsApp and email. Because our parents, they also would like to participate in these activities, but because they are hampered technologically, they are not able to do so. So spending time will let you know what their actual needs are, and it could really make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Now, the teenager grows up and becomes in his or her mid-20s, and this is about the time when a lot of youth get married. So, but they also join the workforce. Mm-hmm. So once they join the workforce, they're an income earner. Do they have some financial obligations towards their parents?
Well, if their parents are dependent on them, then they have this responsibility. So it is a case-to-case situation. If their parents are independent, I mean, they are earning for themselves, especially the father, the obligation is very limited. But, for example, if they become dependent on you, they are maybe sick or they are handicapped, they're not being able to earn for themselves, then, of course, it is the responsibility of the children to look after them.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's move a little further, and we're running out of time, so I'm going to ask you to be short in your answer. The youth is now married and now has children of his or her own. Mm-hmm. And now there is the toss-up of time, because we all have limited time. Mm-hmm. So do I spend time with my parents? Do I spend time with my children? How do we effectively balance these two
needs? Absolutely right. It's a very difficult situation, but as you just said, the word balance is perhaps the correct word. We tend to go to extremes. So we have to jump to that golden mean and realize that we are in a position in which we are equally responsible or maybe more responsible towards one relationship. And we must give each relationship its due. So it's the same as you say that you have this vertical relationship with God and a horizontal one with his fellow brethren. And both need to be carried out. So I think that it's a question of being concerned regarding both and maybe balancing it over a period of time, or you could give one day to one and another day to another as and when the need arises. But it should not be that you tilt towards one so much as to neglect the other one. Mm-hmm. So you have to find that balance.
Yeah. So far I've been trying to trace the development of the youth from teenager to mid-20s to getting married, having their own children and so on. But in the meantime, the parents have been getting older.
Mm-hmm.
So now the parents are in old age. We have to imagine that scenario. Sometimes, it's inevitable that the parents, especially in our context, will have to be resigned to mm-hmm. an institution that mm-hmm. will care for people mm-hmm. who have special needs at that age. But is there some kind of also some imperative for the children to do the best they can to keep their parents with them, even if that might involve some inconveniences?
So you see, in today's life, it's not always possible because the father and the mother, I mean, the children are working, their spouses are also working, and most of the time they're not even at home. So if they find an institution which can help them in managing the lives of their children, of their parents, it's perfectly okay. The only thing is that you should not lose touch with them. I mean, you should go to them, you should spend time with them. They could sleep separately or maybe cared after by someone else. But consigning them totally and, summarily going away from them would not be the right thing. You can always take that institutional help so that they can manage. But at the same time, the emotions that you can provide cannot be provided by that maid or nurse or that person who is there. She can look after their basic physical needs. But the emotional needs are something which only the children can provide.
Dr. Salim, this has been a most excellent discussion and a series of discussions. I'm so sorry that it must come to an end for now. But I would like to see you back in Canada more and more so that we can have more such companionship with you and such excellent discussions as well.
Thank you very much. It's my honor to be with you.
Okay, thanks. And folks, you've been watching Community Roundup on EOAS Television. I've been your host for this episode, Shabir Ali. I've been speaking with Dr. Shehzad Salim, visiting all the way from Pakistan. And we've had a series of discussions. If you have missed the last three episodes of Community Roundup, do look for them as well, because this fourth episode is a continuation of the discussion began in the first one. So look for all of them wherever you normally watch EOAS television, and I hope that before long, God will bring us back together so we can speak to each other about such important topics. Thank you for watching. I'm your brother Shabir Ali. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.